All right, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. Just, I'll spend a few minutes talking about a topic that I've been just kind of thinking about. I know that's dangerous when I think about things. But have you ever stopped and just thought about the Lord and thought about some of His character and His attributes and those type of things? And I mean, when I grew up in theology and all that stuff, so sometimes it's easy for us to just think about, yep, God is omniscient, God is omnipotent, God is this, and yep, okay, next, let's move on with life. But we really begin to think about why that is so vital and important for us as believers. And in Hebrews chapter 13, as he's near the end of this book, and I don't know if we don't have time to go through the book of Hebrews, but there is a lot discussed about the Lord, about Christ, and all the things that He did to fulfill some of the things that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And we get to just, it seems that it's just kind of odd thrown in there, but in verse number 8, we know this verse. We could say it a million times. Jesus Christ, the what? Same. Yesterday and today and forever. And you know, we say that and it rolls off of our tongue. And yep, the Lord's the same. Great. Wonderful. And we move on and don't give much thought to that many times. I know I'm guilty of that. But I wanted to talk tonight about the immutability. I don't want to sound like that's a huge, big theological word because Chris will throw a hymn book at me already. I'm talking about words you can't spell. Just think about it. It's the word unchanging. It just doesn't change. And, you know, I think about that, and we don't have time. You could think about the scriptures in general, but even just the chapter before in chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that sounds wonderful, but who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your own minds. In other words, even all through of those type of difficulties and all the things you read about that the Lord did and the things that Peter describes and John describes in their writings and Paul describes of what the Lord did, yet He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change in His character. So if you were to talk about the immutability of God and the fact that God does not change, I'll give you a theological definition. Hopefully it's not too intense. It's just simple, but I want you to think about it. It's the perfection of God. It's an attribute of God, a perfection of God, whereby He is devoid of all change, not only in His being, okay? His being as God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, His existence, but also in His perfections, which we would say are His attributes. Aren't you glad that He doesn't change in His attributes? We're going to talk briefly about that tonight. But also in His purposes and in His promises. Do you think about God's, you know, the author there, Burkhoff, one of the old school theologians, he has the P's there. You know, we like the alliteration. Roger and I joke about that quite a bit. But the perfections or attributes, the purposes, and the promises. God does not change in those things. So in His being of who He is, you know, the world or different systems of say, well, you know, there's this pantheistic idea or other things that God is becoming, right? Or that the world is becoming God, or humans, we're even evolving and we're becoming gods. That's kind of one of those modern mindsets. Or we say that in His being, He's not becoming something. He already is. I thought about Moses. You know, what did the Lord tell him when Moses saw the burning bush? What did God say? I am that I am. Now that sounds so confusing, but it's just, I am the God that exists, and I am this wonderful creator, perfect, impeccable being, and I am that I am, and I'm not going to change from that I am. And that is so foundational to really our lives as Christians. Again, many times we get lost in the terminology and those things, and we don't like to think a lot about those type of things, but He's not becoming that I am. He always has been and is and will continue to be. There's no improvement. You know, we as humans, we're always looking for improvement, right? We work for improvement. Maybe you work in the corporate world or whatever it might be, your job, your manager, your boss is always looking for what? Improvement, right? And so they're going to critique you and tell you some things maybe to do better, and you got to continue to improve and do a better job and be concerned about your work and so forth. We as humans, we're always looking for improvement. And as many times as humans, we also go to the other side of that and we kind of deteriorate, don't we? We kind of lull off a little bit, and we need encouragement again to be reinvigorated. God doesn't need that. God doesn't need to be reminded that, oh, I've got to get back to being God status. You know, I've kind of fell off a little bit this week. He is unchangeable. He is that being. He doesn't become. He doesn't improve. He doesn't deteriorate. Now that you think about that I am that God told Moses there in the beginning in Exodus, then you relate that to what John said in his writings. I guess I don't have time to get into that, but there's, if you ever look at the writings of John in the gospel, there's seven I ams that Christ also mentioned. Do you remember them? I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, and I am the light of the world, I am the bread, I am the vine, all those things that the Lord said. That means that He's taking what He is as God, and it doesn't change. He's the shepherd, He always has been, and He will continue to be. These are things that we can put our faith and our hope in as believers. So let's talk about, of course, His being, but let's talk about His purposes. Just, I'm going to hit a few verses tonight, and that is my goal, is for us to be encouraged that in the midst of all around us, we as humans, we're always changing, aren't we? I mean, you know, we change this and decide to do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can go to the ice cream back there, and we can decide what toppings we want, and then you know what you can do? I think Pastor got enough that you can change your mind and get more. Mr. O'Pager, you may start out with, you know, fudge. You may go to caramel or caramel, whatever y'all say. Or, you know, you can change. It's all right to do those kind of things. But when we're talking about as a spiritual mindset, what does that mean for me as a believer in the midst of everything's changing. And they call the word vicissitudes. Maybe you've heard that crazy word. It's something changes rapidly. We don't know what could happen in the next 5 minutes. Right on our Father's Day service, you know, tornado warnings, and we're in the hallway. Things happen quickly. The changes and things that we do not know what to expect. But there's one thing we do know, is that we're serving and following and loving and having a relationship with a God that does not change. He's not going to pull the wool over your eyes. He's not trying to trick you. He's not trying to give you some, you know, if you ask for, you know, a bread, He's not going to give you a stone, as the Lord said. He is an unchanging God. And I want us to be encouraged by that tonight. Let's go to the book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalm number 33. And again, we could look at numerous passages. I just chose a few that would encourage us tonight. Chapter 33, let's just start in verse number 9, or verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Don't we wish that was true? We don't understand really the Creator God. We're going to talk about this in Sunday school in a little bit. We get this mindset of, yeah, I'm here and I just get in my rut and daily grind of life. Why did God create? What's going on? We need to stand in awe of Him as an inhabitant of the earth, that this is even happening around us. Because, verse 9, He spake and it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. God can change their counsel. He changes what they do. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. But in contrast to the counsel of the heathen, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. God has a purpose. And there's a variety of things you'd say about that, but in just a general overview, nutshell type view, a bird's eye view, whatever you want to say, His purpose is to have a relationship with His creation. We messed that up, didn't we? We're sinful, fallen creatures. But God has a purpose. His counsel, His thoughts of His heart wasn't just to one generation or to a certain group of people. It was to all generations. In other words, in the Hebrews, generation to the next generation to the next generation. God has that same purpose. In His promises as well. You know, God is going to do what He says He's going to do. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 23. Just quickly, we're going to do some sword drill type things tonight. How about that? We're going to remember where all the books of the Bible are. I should have you stand and say swords up, and we won't do that. We'll save that for elementary school. But Numbers 23, I love the contrast in this verse. This is the Lord met Balaam, put a word in his mouth, and said, go into Balak and say this, and he's going to, you know, the Lord has given this word. Verse 19, God is not a man. Boy, isn't that just, you can just put a period right there and say, praise the Lord, that He's not a man. Because we see what we do, and we see how we think, and the things that, but God is not a man, that He should lie. Now, that's our hearts. Neither the Son of Man, that He should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That is the God that we serve. He is going to do what he says he's going to do. Go back to the end of the Bible in 2 Peter. I know we're flipping around a lot. Just if you don't get there, just listen. You know this verse. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse number 9, he's talking about the end of days, basically. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, or his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, the prophet, God said he's going to judge this world. This earth is going to be judged, and that is a promise of God, so we know it's true. It's going to happen. His promises do not change. However, why hasn't it been fulfilled yet? Because he's not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad you were able to hear the gospel before you died or before the Lord returned, and that the Lord spoke to you and you responded to the gospel and came to the Lord? It's wonderful to think of those things. He did not want you to perish. He doesn't want his creation to perish. But his promises stand true. And he is a just God that will fulfill them. Now, immutability or unchangeableness, I don't want you to mix that up with some theologians have said, well, it's immobility. God just is, he's just immobile. He just stands there. Well, God enters relationships with men, doesn't he? Isn't that his desire? To enter a relationship with his creatures? And we can enjoy that relationship. But what do men do? We change. And there's a God that is unchanging. We have a will and we change and do things. God is active. God is involved with his creatures. And sometimes God changes the way he deals with men so that his character and purpose remain unchanged. God can repent and or change when man changes from evil to good or from good to evil. You've seen that in the scriptures. He can change his original purpose so that his character is unchanging. Genesis chapter 6, what did the Lord say at the time of the days of Noah? When everything was exceedingly evil, it says here that he repented that he made man. That his mind was changed because of the evil. In other words, he changed, he changed who he is. No, he changed to maintain his justice, his holiness, and the other characteristics. Exodus chapter 32, when Moses interceded for the people, the Bible's clear there that God, because of that prayer, repented of the evil that he was going to do. And so, yes, he is unchangeable, but he's not immobile. He's not immobile. He's involved with his creation, and that causes some things to change to keep his character in alignment. God changes to keep his character pure. You know, if God did not respond differently with his people when people repented, then our actions really make no difference, and God could not be either just or merciful. You know, if we just, you know, turn to the Lord and we repent and we follow after the Holy Spirit, but oh, God's just. He's still going to judge you for your sins. He changes to align with his love and his justice and his mercy. And we enjoy the benefits of that as an unchangeable God, and yet he has a relationship with changeable people. Let's just, three more verses and we won't be much longer. Psalm 102, verse 28. Let's go over to Psalm 102. I'm going to have a point at the end, I hope, if you can stay awake long enough with me. Psalm 102, verse 28. Let's start back at, we know this, let's start back earlier, I guess. Verse 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. All of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servant shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So here's all this changing going on. And God, it says God can change them like a vesture changes, and he can do what he wants to do, and he speaks and it changes. But he is the same. And again, we're going to tie this together. Go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. I just have a couple more verses to share with you. Isaiah 41. Keep silence before me, O islands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? In other words, God is changing things on the earth as he sees fit. But I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Nations rise and fall. And in our own country, perhaps we think of administrations come and go, and God puts kings and presidents and people and authority and all those things that we can think about that have happened all throughout history, and the empires that have come and gone and the civilizations. But God is over it all. He sees it all. And the point we're trying to make, that we're going to make at the end, we think sometimes as humans that it was man that did it. Well, this great king did it, or this great ruler did it, or this person did it. God's the one up here just kind of watching and superintending everything that is going on, because he's unchangeable. He has a purpose that is going to be fulfilled. And many times in our little puny man mindset, we think we did it. We think we've got this. We know what we're doing. Last verse, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Again, we know this verse, it's very familiar. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have variableness. We change. We go back and forth. In this context, our sin and our temptations that we are confronted with, the trials, the temptations, other things, they cause change. But God is the same. He does not change based on what happens here. Our shadows, our seasons change. The illusion there to the light, perhaps it's to the sun. But God continues to be the same God with the same attributes. Perhaps His grace, His mercy, His providence. Those things are unchanging. Now, when we think about this as believers, if God does change, if He could change, then it can be for better or for worse, right? So, if God can change for the better, that means we're serving a God that isn't good enough yet. And how do we know He's good enough now? If we're serving a God that just is going to deteriorate or become worse, then what could He become? Evil, right? He could eventually become evil. And so we're guaranteed and assured that we can trust in our God, because He doesn't change. He's not going to be some self-improving being, or He's not going to deteriorate down into nothingness or evil. And we can trust His promises, His purposes. Again, we so many times live in our human mindset, and we do not understand there's something far, far above us, a creator God that does not change. We sometimes think that we would never say it, but we kind of elevate ourselves like, hey, we're the ones running everything. We're doing this. We've got everything in place. Everything is doing exactly what I want to do. And we forget God's up here. We're these little peons. He's unchanging. He created us. And we just have the privilege to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, to walk with Him. We can trust His promises. We can trust His purposes. It's hard to think about them when we think about everything that's happening in our world today and all those things we talk about. But you know what? As we've heard tonight, His Son will return. Now, that's a promise. We can count on it. The other promise, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. It's a promise from God's Word. It's not going to change. Or this one, that we have eternal life. Aren't you glad that you have that promise? God's not going to change and say, well, you know, I'm an Indian giver. I gave you eternal life, but now, nope, not going to get you anymore. You know, don't you love people like that, right? You know, Jesse's birthday was yesterday, so we got him a couple things. What if I went to him tomorrow and said, Jesse, I changed my mind. I really want that Champion Youth Small t-shirt. I don't know why, but I think I want it instead, and I'm going to take it back. No, we would never think of doing something like that. And we don't like it when things like that happen. God's not going to say, you know, like that old was that old Farmers Insurance commercial with the fishing rod or whatever? Oh, almost had it. Oh, they're getting rewards money or something. He's like, you know, God's not like that. Here's eternal life. Oh, gotcha. No. And it sounds so simple, but why can I believe all this? Why can I look forward and say, I've got eternal life now. I have the Holy Spirit now. I'm an adopted child of God now, and I have a relationship with the Creator. Why? Because He's not changing. He's the same. He's not going to just pull the rug out from under you. That's what sometimes humans do. But this is the God that we serve. So our faith is not dependent on us. It's dependent on something far greater than us, outside of us, something that has a God that has always been the same, has always had this character, has always had these attributes, has always had this purpose and these promises. That's what's worthy of our trust. Not ourselves or man and our systems and the things that we think we can get this done. But I encourage you tonight, as you go through the rest of this week, as you look for next week, and who knows, again, what we would face. We don't know. But we are 100% assured of one thing. Our God doesn't change. You know, I'm sure Brother Don has no idea what's going to happen the next few months or weeks or whatever. He doesn't know. God does. He's up there just moving, doing His work. We've got to trust He's unchanging. What better to put your trust in than in our God, who is an unchangeable God, and He wants you to just trust in that reality. And again, get out of your human mindset and realize there's something far greater than we try to make so much of our lives and so much focus on what we're doing and all these things, and there's an unchanging God that's just got a purpose, and He's just executing and doing. Father, thank You that we can know about You. We can know that You are an unchanging God, a God of great character that we can't even fathom. Lord, we're going to be probably just shocked when we see You, of who You are. Lord, I just thank You that we can see some of this in Your Word, and we just have faith and trust in an unchanging God that You know what's best for our personal lives. You know what's best for the ministries we serve in. You know what's best for this church, our school, everything that we're involved in. You know what's best for this community, this nation. Father, You're an unchanging God, and You have a purpose. You have promises. Father, help us to trust. Help us to not get so bogged down with the here and now that we lose sight of it. Pray You'd encourage our hearts in this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.